I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Monday, February 24th, 2020, and this is episode 56 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. I have a sick kitten this morning. And I'm also recording the podcast late because of this week's best thing, which was the KT Literary Retreat that I just returned from last night. It was in Austin, Texas. So my agent is Sarah Megaba with KT Literary. And about every 18 months or so, the whole agency has a retreat. So there are five agents, and I think they have a total of 110 odd clients. Of course, not everyone comes. There are about 35 clients there at the retreat. Thursday to Sunday. It's a different place each time, and they get, you know, they try for a different time of year so that the maximum amount of people can come. And it is always wonderful. I had a great time this time. I had gone last time when it was in Phoenix. And yeah, it's really nice to meet a lot of the other clients of your agent and with the other clients at the agency from other agents. And so we talked with them. There was some presentations and information and then a lot of free writing time and networking time, things like that. So it's a great benefit of being with this agency. I think that I don't know how many other literary agencies do things like this with their clients, but I really enjoy it. And, you know, everybody who goes has a wonderful time and love it. And so I hope that I can go again next time in about a year and a half, wherever that will be. One of the suggestions that I made for next time is that we should have a dance party. I think that every conference or event should have some kind of dance party at the end. I think it's a good way to top off an event. So, you know, just get a playlist on your phone and some speakers and a room and with a floor that's flat, and then you can dance. That's all you need. So it doesn't have to be complicated. Yes, more craft stuff and, other enriching and educational opportunities. But I think networking is really cool, but I think people network best while dancing. That's just my own personal opinion. I have this kitten here who has, I don't know what he's got. He's got drunken kitty syndrome. He's been just under the weather and wobbling around. And so I'm trying to keep him from falling down the steps or otherwise getting into trouble. So Stokely is the sick kitten because he's the kitten. Sterling, our older cat, has been very sweet to him, has been like just coming up to him, nosing him, licking him. The dogs are, you know, animals can sense when we're sick, when one of them is sick, and they all kind of converge and try to help in the limited ways they have available to them, which is basically licking and being close. So I'm trying to keep kitten close for a while, and we'll see if we need to take him to the vet if he doesn't get better soon. Writing update. I'm feeling my way through the end of the story, working on Requiem of Silence, Earthsinger Chronicles book 4. And it's going. It's starts and stops, just like I've been saying. I feel like I've been saying the same thing for weeks. But there were several people who were local to me at the retreat. And I ended up being on the plane going to and from Austin with Pintip Dunn, who is a fabulous author, Rito Award winner, New York Times bestselling author of YA. And so we got to the airport super early on the way back, and we were doing writing sprints because we're both on deadline. We both, our books are due at a similar time, early April. So we were writing in the airport, and I did get some writing done at the retreat, which was great. Probably not as much as I would have wanted, but it's never as much as I would want. So I don't know, I should adjust my expectations to reality at some point. Like I'm ever going to do that. But yes, and shout out to Pintip. Unfortunately, she lost her grandmother and she found out while at the retreat. And so, you know, there are people going through personal issues there, but she ended up staying and, just trying to support her and distract her if needed and let her cry if needed. And so my condolences definitely to her and her family, because I know exactly how difficult that is. I don't have any living grandparents. And, I lost my father, and there's nothing that, there's nothing you can do. We've kind of talked about that. Like when people are going through grief, like literally the only thing you really can say is I'm sorry, you know, and I'm so sorry for your loss. Another really good friend of mine lost her grandmother last week. It's always kind of awkward. Like, I think most of us, if you're an adult, you have lost someone most likely. And there's just nothing anybody can do or say to make anything better. But knowing that that care is there, I mean, I think it's worth something, you know. Specifically, we were talking about not trying to say it more, you know, like the whole they're in a better place thing is not helpful to many people. I mean, I know it comes from a helpful place, but often it is just not what someone wants to hear. I told the story that when my father passed away, I was dating this guy, and what I remember him saying is that either he's in a better place or it's all happening for a reason. And I immediately broke up with him because that was not what I needed to hear at that time at all. I kind of just limited to, I'm sorry, my condolences. I'm in an agnostic period of life, so I can't really offer prayers at this point. But there are days when I feel like I can offer prayers. So, you know, it's sort of a moving target, or I don't know. People's love and care does penetrate, and I don't know how much good it does, but I think it's best to keep it simple and not try to say too much. That's the only thing I can add. In other news, I've been thinking a lot about burnout, and at one point I thought that I was burnt out. And then I just sat down and pushed myself to write, and I wasn't quite burnt out, but always at the end of the book, I'm sort of flirting with burnout, and I feel like I'm just skating on the edge. I have a lot more left to go, and pacing myself and trying to be realistic with the schedule so that I don't just collapse, so that I retain my creative spark, so that I can actually finish this book strong. All of these things constantly on my mind. And so in that burnout book that I can't remember the authors, but I will link to it again. I read the first half and really enjoyed it. The second half got kind of weird, but they talked about exercise being really important for releasing stress and dealing with burnout. And so I did actually go to the gym twice while I was on the retreat, which I'm very proud of. Because sometimes, you'll pack your gym clothes and you'll intend to go to the hotel gym and you never will. But I was also very fortunate that my roommate went to the gym with me. So accountability partners is key. And my roommate, again, was Angelina M. Lopez. And I talked about how much I loved her book to her face, which is always like embarrassing, but nice. Like, as an author, if someone like gushes about your book, you're like, okay, thank you. And then embarrassed, but it really does make you feel good. So I was glad I was able to honestly be like, I loved it. And I told her, like, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't say anything. So, you know, I'm not going to lie to people about their books. The other thing that I did that had been on my list for a long time is I started to create a database of my publications. So I didn't want to do just a spreadsheet because it's a little bit more complicated. And since I'm a web developer and I have experience with database design, I flirted with the idea of doing like a real database application, but that's insane. I didn't need all of that, but you sort of do need a little bit of a relational database. And I'm not going to go into that. If you don't know what that means, forgive me for even mentioning it. But it's just a little bit more complicated than a straight up spreadsheet. So I used a program called Notion, which is free, which I actually use anyway for notes. And I have several note-taking apps, and which can complicate things when I have notes in different places. But Notion is, I'm thinking of using it to replace Evernote, because Evernote used to be the free version you used to be able to have on every device. Then they changed it, so you can only have it on two devices. And I have lots of notes in Evernote. Notion is still free across devices, so I can have it on both of my computers, my iPad, and my iPhone. And that's really nice. And so, yeah, I use it for my podcast notes. I keep the weekly notes that as I'm going through my week and I think of something that I can talk about on the podcast, I put it in Notion because I can do it on my phone or on my computer. So anyway, I am also using it to create a database of books and publications with the publisher, whether it's self-published, the rights held, the dates of publication, the links. There's a bunch of other stuff that I'm keeping track of, the ISBNs. And Joanna Penn has talked about this before, and I think it's really wise to have this in one place. And I have the stuff in other places, but kind of scattered. And so things like, okay, Macmillan has worldwide rights to the ebook and print, and then Macmillan Audio has the audiobook rights. And then for the novellas, they're self-published in ebook and print, but Audible has the audio rights and things like that. And then also which retailers are my self-published things on and which distributors, because I use Draft to Digital, Publish Drive, and I go direct to Amazon. And then some books are direct to Kobo. So just having all of that stuff in one place, in one quote-unquote database, I thought would be really helpful. And I had been wanting to start that process of creating that and putting it off and putting it off. So it's one of those things on my list that would just get shifted week to week to week. And I finally got started on it. And it was way easier than I thought it was going to be. So I would encourage any published authors to have something like this, because it's just good record keeping. Like, when if I change a price, like if I wanted to go free on something and I forgot that I had the book on Publish Drive and Draft Digital, I just think that having that recorded in a place is good. And so I might do a tutorial or like a special video on how I'm putting that together for any authors who might want to have something similar. And that will be in the future. And if anyone is interested in this, just remind me it's going to be on my list, but you know, obviously things get pushed from week to week to week on the list, but I'm kind of excited about this. So when I get a block of time free, I'll set it up. Also, the latest Writer's Well, as of last week, the Writer's Well podcast was talking about boredom and cultivating boredom. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot as well. Because of smartphones and, you know, there's always a way to distract yourself and to entertain yourself. When people are standing in line at the grocery store, they're on their phones. You know, you'll go into restaurants and people will just be on their phones and not talking to one another. And also just not having quiet time to think. I think creative people need to cultivate boredom. And I know that there's a lot of people who talk about this, but I do take time where I just kind of sit and think. Like, I'll just be like, just sit on the couch and not have the TV on, not listen to a podcast, not have my phone on, you know, not be on my phone, and just, you know, think about things, like look out the window. When I work out, sometimes I use music, but a lot of times, like the majority of the time, I don't. I just use that time to daydream, to think. I tell stories in my head, like I have things running. There's stories that I don't ever write down because I don't have the time, but they just play in my head. And I think I've always been that way. That's kind of one of the reasons why I'm a writer, because I would always have these ongoing stories, like movies playing in my head. And sometimes I would get to the end and I wouldn't want it to be over. So I'd rewind and change one thing and then go down another path with this story, with these characters in my head, and just make things up. And, you know, most of these things never got written. Occasionally I will write them down and they'll become something more. But I think that's just really good for creativity. And as I think about burnout and feeling kind of creatively dry and hitting these walls over and over again in the story and then sort of backtracking and reworking, I think that focusing on having that time to daydream and moodle and be bored and just allow your mind to wander without directing it to a form of entertainment or any news or whatever other things that, you know, all the myriad things that can occupy our brains and our time is really helpful. So yeah, cultivate boredom, daydream more, spend some time just staring out the window thinking about things. And I think that it will positively affect creativity. So I do have announcements. The most pressing one is that if you're listening to this in real time and you are in the Maryland area, I will be at Charm City Books on Wednesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. I'll be doing a reading, I'll sign books, and I will do a sneak peek of Cry of Metal and Bone, which is book 3. So if you're around and available, hope to see you there. Also, we are able to announce I'm part of a new anthology I'm so excited about it. It's with Jeffy Kennedy, Grace Draven, and Melissa Marr, who are all amazing authors, and it's going to be called Under a Winter Sky. It's going to be released this winter, so around November, so for like a holiday anthology of fantasy novellas. And Jeffy Kennedy was making fun of me on her podcast the other day about how I had said that I had already drafted my novella for it, which is only because, okay, a couple of reasons. I drafted it because I needed to know what happened in it because it's book 3.5 of Earthsinger Chronicles and I needed it for book 4. So I kind of did a quick and dirty fast draft. It is not just a matter of just some quick cleanups. It's a big revision that's needed for this novella. But I just needed to know what happened. And I also kind of keep going back and forth as to whether this is the novella I'm going to do for the anthology. Like, When I was first presented with the idea, I was like, oh, well, this is a natural fit for book 3.5. And I think it is, but it's not due until like October, I think. So I still have time to change my mind. Yes, I do have a fast draft already. And it's not just because I'm an overachiever, although I will cop to being an overachiever. And high compliance, which is just my personality. But being high compliance is not all about only following rules, because I do have these anti-authoritarian leanings. So I follow rules that make sense to me, that I agree with. Other rules that don't make sense to me, that I think are stupid, I don't follow. If that makes any sense. So yeah. And I honor everyone else's process, but I'm definitely the person who had my paper done like a week in advance so that I could proofread it and obsess over whether it was right. Doing things at the last minute never worked for me. I know so many authors who stay up all night, you know, before deadlines, like the week before deadline, they don't sleep at all. That's not me. Even when I was doing the 48-hour film project, and I literally had 48 hours to write, shoot, edit, score a film, a 7-minute short film, I managed to sleep. Other people stayed up, the other teams and like directors, you know, would stay up the whole time. No, I always scheduled it so that I could have at least 4 or 5 hours of sleep each night and still make what I thought was a cool film. And I'm putting those films up on YouTube at the request of my husband. There's one I can't find. I'm going to have to rip it off the DVD. So at some point, they'll be linked to from somewhere. If anybody's interested in seeing my 48-hour film projects, I'll put them on my author website in some capacity, and I will hopefully remember to make an announcement when I do that. I think those are my big announcements. I'm also doing an event in May in DC, Imaginarium Book Festival, which I'm super excited about. Jodi Meadows is the headlining author there, and that should be a lot of fun. I said before that I'm doing fewer events this year, so I'm trying to figure out the rest of the year and what I really want to pay for, places I want to go, people I want to see, and things that I think will be beneficial. And I had said that I'm going to focus more on craft and as opposed to more reader-facing stuff. So hopefully by 2021, when the series is done, the fourth book will be out sometime early 2021, I will be re-energized and be ready to do a lot more promo and push the completed series, and then hopefully be ready to push whatever comes next. But yeah, dealing with exhaustion, too much travel last year, too many things happening, and I'm just tired. So I think that is everything that I wanted to talk about this week. And this podcast is late because I'm recording Monday morning. So I apologize to anyone who expects it bright and early Monday. I'm the kind of person that like I listen to my podcast the same time every week. So if they're late, I'm like, what happened? Is there nothing? I had to go check people's, you know, social media feeds to make sure that they're alive and nothing bad happened to them. And they're still going to be podcasting. So not that anybody is as obsessive as I am about those things, but I do like to have a schedule. And it was just this weekend, I didn't have any time to record. And last night I came in late and I was exhausted. So yes, but I hope that you have a wonderful week and I will talk to you next week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the footnotes newsletter with the show notes in them, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're a visual learner, check out the video episodes on YouTube. I would love a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.